If the first step in Michael's delusional spending spree was to create a dream version of 2300 Jackson Street, the next was to fill it with the playmates he was denied as a child. Cameraman Steve Howell took these rare home movies of Michael's new best friends.
All of a sudden, these three vans drive up, and next thing you know, what the... There's the seven dwarfs, you know, like you would see at Disneyland, are getting out of the van, and they frolic into his house. At that time, I'm going, this is too wild. The water fountain that's in front of his house is actually his wishing well. So they all went out there, and they were doing their little, you know, wish. Michael always said, you know, capture the magic. So I was capturing the magic on film.
As a child, Michael shared pets with his siblings. But in his reinvented youth, Mike populated his suburban palace with a Noah's Ark all of his own.
Everything went upscale, man. You know, you went from having a regular old German Shepherd to having an exotic chimp hanging around the joint that wore clothes.
Mr. Tibbs was their ram. Louis the Llama.
He's a charming, sweet animal. Say hi, Louis. Let him see your beautiful ears.
You would see giraffes and you know, the neighbors were always very upset because it smelled bad up there. It did. You know, it's not a zoo. It's somebody's home and seen him.
With his millions, Michael could finally buy Katherine Jackson the happiness he thought she deserved. So in 1984, he threw his mother the birthday party of her dreams. Although Michael's generosity was angelic, Catherine's party violated a Jehovah's Witness taboo.
You're going, wait a minute, I thought that Jehovah's Witnesses never celebrated birthdays.
That's absolutely stunning as far as I'm concerned. If a person celebrates a birthday, they face sanction because they are doing something that's associated with pagan origins.
Catherine soothed her son's guilt by insisting her presents be wrapped in brown paper bags. While she had long ago learned to bend the witnesses' rules when it came to the finer things in life, this was the first time Michael had dared to deceive Jehovah.
Not having those gifts unless they're wrapped in brown paper is similar to the idea of it being okay to lie if it's for your image and public relations. Well...
Michael's grip on the truth was completely coming loose. And when he finished rebuilding Havenhurst, he set out on an even more ambitious course by reinventing Michael Jackson.
I can only tell you what I know and what I heard and what he told me. That one was, I would like to separate myself from the Jackson 5 and become me, Michael Jackson. So in that separation, he changed himself.
He had a song called Man in the Mirror, Change. And that's what he tried to do. He tried to change. He tried to change what he saw in the mirror. Because he obviously didn't like himself, even though he was a big star.
In the real world, Michael was one of five singing brothers in a poor black family. But in the lie he told himself, he was Peter Pan, an androgynous orphan from a lily-white fairyland. Step one in Michael's transformation was to streamline the feature that reminded him most of his father.
I actually saw the brothers sort of ribbing him about his nose, and they used to call him Big Nose, and I asked Joe about it. What about Michael's nose? And Joe said, you know, he's got a great nose. His nose is just like mine, and he should be proud of his nose.
After claiming that he broke his nose in an onstage fall, Michael spent the early 1980s chipping away at the link to his father.
I saw really fine stitches on the sides of his nose.
You're saying you've only ever had one piece of surgery on your nose?
Two.
You've had two?
As his face took on an elfin shape, Michael's skin also got lighter in tone. He claimed to have a skin disease that turned him from black to white.
You see, I was putting on cream to make myself lighter. Is that true?
I tried to talk to him a couple times. You don't need to change your color. No one knows what color you are. No one cares. You're Michael Jackson. You're a pop icon. You don't have to do this. He wouldn't respond. He would just turn his head. He just looked the other way. He wouldn't pay any attention.
And while his singing voice was always high, his speaking tone suddenly became a childish whisper.
The Michael that I've always heard had, you know, a fairly deep speaking tone.
Can we try it just one more time? Then we'll take it from the top.
I hope he doesn't get angry at me for telling you this, but that's his public persona. I remember a time I called him up and he answered the phone and I didn't know I was talking to him because he was talking in his normal voice, which is pretty deep.